Hello all, welcome back. In the previous few chapters, we've spoken about different sources of finance. So how would you, as a head of finance, go to somebody to raise money for doing investment projects? We've also seen different capital budgeting techniques which you're going to use in order to evaluate the projects. While you're doing the projects, the capital is coming from a particular source. And when it comes to decision of the source, we said there's a cost involved in deciding the source. So today's chapter's focus is on understanding what is this cost of capital which you're going to raise and which cost would help you understand which particular source is more lucrative when it comes to an organization. So let us talk about the concept of cost of capital. Cost of capital of the money which is going to come from different sources of finance, analyze the choice of the source of capital based on the cost, and determine the cost of each source of capital. Also, let us calculate the total weighted average cost of capital. To begin with, let's talk about what is the meaning of cost of capital. Cost of capital is the minimum rate. We said it's a hurdle rate or a benchmark rate, or I'll simply say it's the minimum rate which any entity who's going to lend you money is going to expect back in return. So we can also say it's that minimum rate which the company would have to pay to raise money through any source of finance. So it is that cost to an entity which the entity is going to pay to raise funds. If you look at the definition of cost of capital given by Ezra Solomon, it says cost of capital is the minimum required rate of earnings or cutoff rate of capital expenditure. So this particular cost, so if you raise money in form of, say, debt, which is a bank loan, and you're paying the bank 12%, I'll say cost of capital for this loan is 12%. Okay, this is just in layman terms. We'll see how does tax implications impact this particular source. But say, for example, we are only talking about any financial institution lending you money or any other entity giving you money, and you want to pay 12%, you know, interest back. That 12% is the cost of capital. So it is also a cutoff rate which you want to earn on the capital investment which you do. So I've raised this money, I'm going to use to do the project. So my project should definitely earn a minimum 12% return in order to for me to cover this cost to repay the money back to the investor. If you look at author Khan and Jain, they define cost of capital as a minimum rate of return that a firm must earn on its investment for the market value of the firm to remain unchanged. So we are saying the capital which you have raised, which you are going to utilize for doing further business, this particular investment which you do, or the capital investment which you have done with this money, should ensure that you're able to make more than this cost. Okay, so you should be able to get this 12% back so that the shareholder value doesn't get impacted. That means the share price in the market does not get impacted. Your profitability does not get impacted. Cost of capital is also defined as the company's cost of collecting funds. It's that cost which the company pays to raise funds, you know, from the market. Cost of capital is also known as a cost of acquisition or, you know, acquisition of funds. When you're talking about acquisition of funds, this acquisition of funds could be in case of equity or debt. You've raised the money in form of equity or debt. We've already talked about what do you mean by equity, what you mean by debt in the previous chapter when we discussed sources of finance. It is denoted in an annual percentage, and it's denoted as with a K symbol. So whenever it says KE, it means cost of equity. When I say KD, it means cost of debt. So cost is denoted by an alphabet K, which is used as a connotation. Cost of equity. What do you mean by cost of equity? It is nothing but the investor's expectation from you. So if I'm a shareholder, I'm expecting the company to give me 15% return. So my expectation is nothing but cost of equity to the company. So the company should ensure that they make 15% return and pay me back in form of dividends. So I'll say cost of equity is nothing but the money which the company is going to pay to the equity shareholders while making more money out of the money which it's been retained. Okay, so money which the company have raised from equity shareholders by doing business, you should ensure that you're returning me that money back. There is also a terminology known as weighted average cost of capital. Weighted average cost of capital is nothing but a combination of all the cost of all the sources of capital which you have used. So a company would have raised money from equity, company would have raised money from debt, company would have raised money from preference shares, company would have taken a term loan. So all these together, okay, a weighted average cost of all these components together is nothing but weighted average cost of capital. Each, it will basically take into consideration each source, each contribution towards capital from each source and what is the cost associated, and it will multiply it with the proportion of capital raised to that source. We'll try to understand this in detail when we look at what is the formula for calculating WACC, that is weighted average cost of capital. Before we start, some very simpler definitions for your understanding. We've already discussed about, you know, debentures. And we understand what a debt is. Okay, we talked about equity and debt. Or it could be a debenture or a bond, which could be a debt instrument used. Whenever I say redeemable shares, or whenever I say redeemable debt, the term redeemable means something which will be paid off in future. So it is that financial instrument which comes with a maturity date. So the lender is ensuring that while the person is lending the money, he is also giving a commitment at which year, what is the tenure of this investment? After how many years will I, you know, the person, the lender repay back the entire debt? Okay, so that specific period, if defined for any such instrument, it is known as redeemable share or redeemable debt. Similarly, we also have something known as irredeemable share and debt. Irredeemable basically means perpetual. Perpetual means ongoing. It doesn't have any maturity. The borrower will never pay back the lender the principal amount, but will keep on paying the premium, interest, you know, or a dividend of the particular money which is lended. So say, for example, I lend company 100 rupees and I'm supposed to receive, say, 2 rupees as my interest. This 2 rupees is lifelong. The company will keep on paying me 2 rupees till the time the company is in existence. Such kind of source of capital, which does not have any kind of maturity, is known as irredeemable or perpetual share or perpetual debt. Next is premium and discount concept. What do you mean by premium? Whenever you're issuing a share, okay, or you're issuing a bond, or you're issuing a debenture, any financial instrument which you're issuing, in case the price of that particular instrument is more than the current share price, or it is more than the face value, that means I'm going to raise money from the market in form of debenture. The debenture's face value says 10 rupees, but my lenders are going to pay me 15 rupees for that particular debenture. So I'll say, my debenture is issued at a premium of 5 rupees. 10 rupees face value, 5 rupees premium. In total, I have received 15 rupees. Similarly, there's a concept known as discount. What is discount? Shares are basically issued at discount when the market price is less than the issue price. That means the face value of the share is 10 rupees and the investors give me 8 rupees for buying that share. So I'm going to sell the share at a discount so that I can get more and more equity shareholders for my particular investment. This is usually done by companies when they want to, you know, just put on a lot of shares or a lot of bonds or debentures in the market. They want a lot of lenders to join in. So you will try to sell your share at a discount. So this is the concept of discount. Discount would be that price which is less than the face value. Premium is that price which is more than the face value. Now let's look at what is the meaning of cost metrics. We know that a major source of capital would either be an equity or a debt. A combination of both is nothing but a cost matrix. So I'll say a firm's cost of capital is nothing but it is determined either by, you know, raising money through bonds or borrowing money through equity or getting in any kind of term loan or debenture. So each organization would typically define their own cost of capital. So I'll define it for my company based on my sources of finance. You would define for your company based on your sources of finance. So how do you do? So there are two ways of doing it. First, I'll say cost of capital for my company is simply nothing but financing cost the organization must pay when you're borrowing the fund. So whatever an investor is asking, the money which I'm going to pay off is nothing but my cost of capital. Alternatively, I could also evaluate a potential investment and the cost of capital would be considered based on the return rate the company could earn if it is using that money for an alternative investment. So I'm saying that I am doing a project which gives me 15% return, but if I would have put this money in a similar project, it could have given me 18% return. So cost of capital before determining could be determined as 18%. That means before I raise money, I determine that the cost with respect to this particular investment is 18%. So either you look at whatever money the investor is asking back for the money which you have raised, or you look at an alternative project which is similar in nature, look what cost you're incurring for that particular project and define your cost of capital. So each company will decide based on any of these methods. Let's now talk about what is exactly this cost of debt. So we are raising money through bonds, we are raising money through debenture. These are all debt instruments, even term loan. If that's the case, this particular debt comes with a commitment to repay it back. Whenever you're repaying debt, you repay it in form of interest. So organization's cost of debt is nothing but an effective percentage. That means the interest percentage that it pays on any kind of its debt instrument. It is expressed usually as a percentage either before tax or after tax. In case if it is before tax, it would be the whole percentage. So the bank gives me money at 12% term loan. 12% is the cost of debt before tax. And how would I define this after tax? Say, for example, the tax rate is 40%. So if it is 40%, I'll say my after tax cost of debt is nothing but 12% multiplied by 1 minus 0.14. So 12 multiplied by 0.6, 7.2% is my effective after tax cost of debt. So you can define it before tax or after tax cost. Why after tax? Because interest gets, you know, a debt relief. Okay. So because interest is getting this tax deduction, it's an expense accounted before taxes. So this particular, you know, source helps me to save little tax. These debt instruments could be of two types. We already discussed two concepts. We said redeemable or irredeemable. Let's talk about redeemable. Say, for example, it was a debenture. Redeemable debenture would be that debt instrument which we will repay back to the lender after a specific period. So I'm going to pay this back on maturity. Maturity is pre-decided by the lender. Irredeemable is that which will be perpetual. It will be never paid back on the maturity date. It is for lifelong till the time the company is into existence. Let's look at the formula for calculating cost of debenture. So cost of irredeemable debenture, since it's irredeemable, I'll say it is nothing but interest 1 minus tax divided by net proceeds. This net proceeds is nothing but the total money which the company have received while it has issued the debenture. So if the company issued it at discount, face value was 10 rupees, discount is 2 rupees, I'll say net proceeds is 8 rupees. Similarly, come to cost of redeemable debenture. The only difference in this formula is, I'm saying that when we're talking about cost of debt, since this is redeemable, there are two aspects of cash outflows for the company. First, interest 1 minus T. Second, redeemable value minus the sale value over the number of years. So I'm redeeming it, face value of this particular debenture was 10 rupees. I'm redeeming it at 12 rupees. And maybe I have got the net proceeds only eight rupees. So I'll say 12 minus 8, 4 rupees is also my additional cost. So interest 1 minus T plus that 4 rupees divided by, say, this particular debenture is for 4 years. So 4, the whole divided by the average price. So redemption price plus issue price divided by 2. I hope we are clear with respect to redeemable debenture and irredeemable debenture. We have seen cost for both. The only difference here is in case of redeemable, we have two types of cost: interest plus the money which you give in excess of the face value. So if that's the case with respect to debenture, what happens if you take a term loan? If I'm taking a bank loan, it is nothing but simply interest 1 minus T. Okay, interest would be the bank defined interest and T is the tax rate. Since I'm getting a tax benefit, I will say it is interest 1 minus tax. Let's come to cost of equity. What do you mean by cost of equity? First, we all know equity shareholders are those who are the owners of the company. Since they are owners of the companies, they don't earn any kind of interest. So what do they really earn? They earn something known as dividend. So they earn the profits. And part of profit which gets distributed to them is known as the dividend. So I'll say cost of equity is a measure which will talk about how much return does a company pays back to its investors who are the owners. Since they are owners, they get paid last, they carry the maximum risk, and so they expect you to pay a higher return. So equity is nothing but a high cost source of capital, as it indicates that the market views company future to be risky, and thus a higher return should be given to investors since it's a high risk, high return reward. A lower cost of equity indicates just the opposite. If you look at the traditional formula for calculating cost of equity, it is defined using dividend capitalization model, where the dividend is taken into consideration to find out how much dividend have you earned over the money which you have invested to in the equity share. And the second and the recent one or highly used one is capital asset pricing model, where we look at the investor's risk appetite and decide what kind of premium to be paid since he is invested in equity and not in debt. Let's take both the formulas together. First is cost of equity using dividend capitalization approach. If you look at the formula, it says current market value. So whatever is my current market value of my share price divided by my dividend per share plus the growth rate. So I want to know what is my current market price. So if my current market price is 100 rupees and I have received a dividend of 10 rupees, so I am getting a 10% here. And how much percent is this 10 rupees growing every year? So what's the growth rate of my dividend? Is the dividend grown by 5%, 10%? This particular formula we'll use to find out basis dividend, how much cost is there to raise money in form of equity. In case you want to raise the money in form of equity, you can also use a formula known as capital asset pricing model, which says a person who has invested in equity is definitely bearing a higher risk, so it's expecting a higher return. To calculate this, you will say cost of equity is nothing but RF, which is risk-free rate of return, plus beta, the whole multiplied by market return, that is RM minus RF. So what am I saying? First, since I am an investor investing in equity or giving the company, you know, buying a company's equity share, first give me bare minimum risk-free rate of return. So give me that return which I would have got if I would have kept my money in fixed deposit. Plus, give me something more than what the market is giving. So if the market gives 20% return, and the debt, so equity market gives 20% return, or your stock gives 20% return, minus I would have got say 7% return from my fixed deposit. So 13% is the premium which I get to invest in an equity rate. So that 13% multiplied by beta. Beta is nothing but the market risk of the stock. I'll multiply it to find out what is the total investor's cost of equity. So this is how you'll calculate cost of equity. There are other formulas also available in the market which are used, but these are the highly used one: dividend capitalization model and capital asset pricing model. Let's talk about weighted average cost of capital. Since you now know what is cost of equity and what is cost of debt, let's find out what is the total cost with respect to the company while raising funds. So weighted average cost of capital is nothing but an arithmetic mean or an average of the cost of all these sources. So all sources together multiplied by the proportion or the weight in which the investment is in the capital would give me the weighted average cost of capital. So it's an arithmetic average or a mean capital cost of all the sources of capital which I have used in order to raise money in the market. This particular weighted average cost of capital is also known as a sum of all the capital cost components which is multiplied by their respective weights. In simpler terms, WACC, that is weighted average cost of capital, is equal to proportion of total funding that the equity has. So in a capital structure of 100 rupees, if you're 60 rupees, okay, for a project you have raised 100 crores, 60 crores is coming in form of equity. So I'll say proportion of equity is 0.6. 60% is 0.6. So proportion is 0.6 multiplied by cost of equity. What is the cost? Cost of equity is say 15%. So 15% multiplied by 0.6 plus I'll also say proportion of total funding, that is in case of debt funding. Out of 100 rupees, 60 rupees has come from equity, 40 rupees is coming from debt. So that 40 crore rupees is nothing but 0.4 weight. So 0.4 multiplied by, I have raised this loan at 10%. So 0.4 multiplied by 10. So I will find out both of these and calculate what is my total weighted average cost. In case of debt, you can see there is 1 minus tax rate, which will get, since you are getting a further deduction, it being an interest cost. So you will take a total of this numbers to find out what's my weighted average cost. Say for example, when you calculate, you come to know for equity it is 9% and for debt after tax it comes to 6%. So 9 plus 6, 15% is your total weighted average cost of capital. This is about weighted cost of capital, that is WACC. Let's talk about any kind of borrowing. In case you borrow money in any form, what is the cost associated with this borrowing? See, borrowing could be any debtor lending you money. Please remember, if I am a person, you have given me money. Say, for example, you sold me goods. I'm supposed to pay you that money and I'm not paid it. So there is some kind of, borrowing which is involved, and there is some kind of lending which is involved, which also has a cost associated with it. So maybe the debtor says, I'm not going to pay you for 3 months. If that's the case, what's the cost here? In case you are not paying your supplier for 4 months, what is the cost of borrowing in that case? So any kind of borrowing which comes, how do you calculate the cost of borrowing? So cost of borrowing is nothing but the total payment, that is repayment of the principal amount plus the cost of borrowing. So typically in a loan, when you go to a bank, I'll say cost of borrowing is nothing but the interest which you pay to the bank. So you've taken a 10 lakh loan, you're returning back the bank 12 lakh rupees, 2 lakh additional is your interest payment. Plus when you initiated this loan, you've paid some kind of processing fees or origination fees. That is also your cost of debt or cost of borrowing. Your loan account maintenance fees is also your cost of borrowing. Your insurance on this particular loan, the bank may say it's mandate for you to remove an insurance. Since you bought a property with this particular term loan, we want you to insure the loan. This insurance fees or any other fees which the bank charges cumulatively becomes your cost of borrowing. Similarly, we also have cost of funds or cost of funds index. As the term itself says, cost of fund, it refers basically to an interest rate that is charged by financial institutions, maybe like banks, in order for you to pay the money back for any kind of funds which you obtain from any lending institution for investment purposes. Okay, so banks may come together and decide what would be the, say, lending rate, a bare minimum lending rate or prime lending rate, PLR. So that PLR is one component of cost of fund. So I'm saying cost of fund is nothing but that index which will tell you what is the bare minimum rate which should be charged. It represents the expense incurred by the institution to acquire money from various sources, including depositors, other banks, or financial markets. This particular terminology is usually used by financial institutions and banks, and they are talking about this cost associated with, they have received money from the depositors and they are paying back the depositors. So they will look at what is COFI, that is cost of fund index. A bank's cost of fund is related to the rates it charges. Okay, so bank going to charge you a rate, bank charges for adjustable loans and mortgages. That particular rate is nothing but cost of funds index. Bank will always set its interest rate based on this particular COFI. So in India, it is prime lending rate, PLR. So PLR, looking at PLR, bank will decide the PLR is say 6%. Bank may charge you say 7.5%, 8%. So I will decide my interest rate or my cost to be charged to you based on this particular cost of fund index, which would be usually denoted by the lending institution together as an association or by the central bank. So today we have seen what are the different costs with respect to equity as well as debt. I hope you have also understood what is weighted average cost of capital. In the further chapters, we'll try to look at each component in detail. We said cost of debt is of two types. One is before tax. So I'm saying before tax. And the other is after tax. For before tax, I'm saying KD. We said cost of capital is denoted by K. So cost of debt is KD. We are saying KD is equal to the interest 1 minus the tax rate. If it is before tax, it is just the interest. If it is after tax, it is KD is equal to 1 minus the tax rate. So the only difference between before and after is, in case of after, it is I minus 1 minus T. Let's further look at cost of equity and cost of debt. We also said cost of debt. In this, we have two kinds of debt. One is irredeemable and the other is redeemable. I'm using a short form here. So I'm saying KD in this case of redeemable debt is interest 1 minus tax rate, the whole divided by net proceeds. And in case of redeemable, the same debt is nothing but interest 1 minus T plus RV, that is redeemable price, minus issue price, the whole divided by N. This I'll put in one bracket. The entire thing is nothing but RV plus SV divided by 2 to find out the average price. Okay, this is divided by 2. So this is with respect to cost of debt, redeemable, irredeemable. Coming to the next set of formula, we also said there is something known as cost of equity. And in case of cost of equity, we are going to use dividend capitalization model. And we say there is capital asset pricing model. Okay. So in case of dividend capitalization model, we are saying KE, cost of equity. Okay. Here is nothing but market price of the share divided by dividend. plus G, that is the growth rate. And in case of capital asset pricing model, we are saying it is KE, risk-free rate of return, plus beta, market return. Okay, so I'm putting this little in smaller terms. I'm saying this is nothing but return of the market, that is RM minus risk-free rate of return. So this is with respect to cost of equity. We have two models, dividend capitalization model and capital asset pricing model. This is what we discussed with respect to cost of equity. The next formula which we discussed was weighted average cost of capital. We said it is proportion of that capital multiplied by cost. So in simple terms, I'm saying it is nothing here. If I only have two components, it is cost of equity plus cost of debt. If that's the case, this cost of equity, if my capital comprises of cost of equity and cost of debt, I will multiply cost of equity, this particular component, with its weight. So I'm saying cost of equity multiplied by weight, that is the proportion of equity, and cost of debt multiplied by weight of debt. So this is KEWE plus KDWD. If you just have equity and debt. In this case, for cost of debt also, you will further check if it is after tax. If after tax, I'll take it multiplied by 1 minus t. If not after tax, we can directly take the rate. This is with respect to weighted average cost of capital. I hope you are clear with what all we have discussed. The last, what we discussed was cost of borrowing. We said any borrowing is nothing but principal payment, the last formula, plus cost associated with respect to the loan. So this cost associated could be further written as interest. I can also say this is bank charges, processing fees, maintenance cost, etc. So all this is also part of cost of borrowing. Okay, any other cost, I'll say other cost was also part of cost of borrowing. So cost of borrowing would also involve all these costs. I hope we are clear with different costs associated with different sources of finance. So cost of capital, different components we have seen. I hope we are clear with all the formulas. See you in the next classes to understand what are the different sources in detail. Thank you.